you have questions? Do you need answers? The Pastor Study will help you find those answers through God's Word. Our teacher today is Pastor Tom Brock. The Pastor Study is sponsored by PastorStudy.org. So grab your Bible and join us for The Pastor Study.
Welcome to The Pastor Study. Years ago, here's a young 14-year-old girl from my church. I taught her confirmation, and she loved the Lord. Her family loved the Lord. Then she gets into high school, gets a Mormon boyfriend. Her family's very concerned. The girl and her boyfriend come into my office. I sit down with them, and I said, "Now, Lori, Mormons believe in thousands of gods. Christians believe in one God. And Mormons believe that our God became God on another planet. No, we believe God has always been God." Well, I just shared with her that Mormonism is not Christianity. Sadly, to her parents' chagrin, she married the guy and now they're raising Mormon children in Utah. Here's another woman of our church. Didn't like it when I preached against sin because she thought that was negative energy. And then she started living with her boyfriend and immediately left our church for the Unity Church. And at the Unity Church, they don't talk about sin because everything is positive energy. Then the third person I think of is my mom. Now, my mom was raised Missouri Synod Lutheran. You don't get more conservative than Missouri Synod Lutheran. But before she died, she said, "Tommy, have you ever seen Sylvia on Montel?" I said, "Yeah, Mom, I have. She's a psychic. She talks to the dead. You can't do that. Bible says that's an abomination. That's a farce and it's evil." No, Tommy. She's a good Christian. She talks about God and angels." I said, "Mom, the angels she talks about aren't angels. They're probably demons." But, you know, I thought, if my Missouri Synod Lutheran mom is getting deceived by this stuff, we need to do a couple shows on the cults. So this is part one. Next week will be part two. We're going to talk about the cults today. And let's pray, and then let's get into this. So let's just take a moment. Father, we do want to pray for anyone watching this program who has been caught up in some false teaching, that somehow you'll bring them out of the darkness and get them into a good Christian church. Lord, probably all of us have loved ones that have been messed up some way in the cults or liberal false Christianity. We pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us now about the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the cults. Let me give you the definition of a cult. Quote, "A cult is a group that claims to be Christian, but which denies basic Christian beliefs." Let me repeat that. A cult is a group that claims we're Christians too, but you look at their doctrines and they're not Christians. I mean, Judaism is not a cult because they don't claim to be Christians. Islam is not a cult because they don't claim to be Christians. Hinduism is not a cult. But a cult says, "Well, we're Christians too," but then you look at their doctrine and you know, "Oh, no, you're not." So before we get into what the cults believe, we got to find out what the genuine item is first. What do genuine Christians believe? What are the basic teachings of the Christian church? All right, here are the basics, and these are where the cults will stray. Basic number one, the Bible is the final authority. If you're a Christian, the final authority to you is, what did Jesus teach? What did the apostles teach? What did God teach us in the Bible? Our final authority is not Mary Baker Eddy and her book, Health and Key to Science and Health. Our basic book is not the Book of Mormon. It's not the Watchtower magazine. If you're a Christian, your book is the New Testament and the Old Testament. Second basic of Christianity, God is the creator, but he's separate from his creation. God made the trees and the flowers. God is not the trees and the flowers. God, Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." In other words, God is separate from his creation. He is not to be identified. God is not the trees and the mountains. Next basic teaching of Christianity is man is sinful since the fall in the garden. We're sinners. Adam and Eve brought sin onto this planet. Cults tend to teach man is basically good. You just need to get in touch with your own divinity, your own inner godness. You're not a sinner. Let's not talk negatively. You are God, some of the cults teach. No. In Christianity, we believe in what's called original sin, that we all inherited sin because of Adam and Eve. And I like what the late William F. Buckley, the Catholic, used to say, the doctrine of original sin is the one teaching of the Christian church that is empirically verifiable. In other words, you can prove this one. All you need to do is read the newspaper. All you need to do is watch the evening news or just take a hard look in the mirror. Sin is everywhere. It's awfully hard to deny that. Next basic teaching of Christianity, God is the Trinity. Now, all the cults will play with the Trinity. Jehovah's Witnesses at your door will say, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. It's a doctrine of the devil. They're wrong. They're right. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But you find the concept of the Trinity, get this, in the first paragraph of the Bible. God created. That's the Father. The Spirit of God was moving. That's the Holy Spirit. God said, let there be light. The speaking, the Word of God is Jesus, according to John chapter 1. You find the Trinity all over the Bible. If you don't want to call it the Trinity, okay, but you still got to believe in one God, three persons. Jehovah's Witnesses won't. Next bedrock teaching of the Christian faith is Jesus is the God-man. There's only been one incarnation. Incarnation means the enfleshment of God. There haven't been 50 incarnations. I remember once at a Denver airport, the Hare Krishna came up to me and was evangelizing me. And finally I stopped him. I said, I'm sorry, I don't believe what you're teaching. I'm a Christian. And he says, we believe Jesus is a son of God. I said, I know, I believe he's the son of God, period. And so, you know, some cults have no problem saying Jesus is God because isn't everybody? I'll say this about Oprah. I'm glad her show was off the air because Oprah said she was raised Baptist. She says on her TV show, I used to believe Jesus came to die for our sins. Now I understand Jesus came to get us in touch with our own Christ consciousness. In other words, according to Oprah, we are all the Christ. That's a cult. Christians believe there's been one incarnation and we ain't him. Next basic teaching of the Christian faith, salvation is by grace alone. We're saved not by what I do, but by the grace, the unearned mercy and favor of God alone. All other world religions and all of the cults are into salvation by good works. You save you by being reincarnated enough times so you come back and get rid of your bad karma so eventually you can be dissolved into nirvana. But or you go to knock on enough doors with the Jehovah's Witness and maybe you'll be saved. All other religions, all other cults are salvation by good works. Christianity says, nope, it's by grace alone. Another bedrock teaching of the Christian faith, salvation is through Christ alone. Jesus said this himself, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, period. For cults, Jesus is nice, and they'll talk about Jesus as being one of their gurus and one of their teachers, but he's not necessary. And tragically, some of our Christian churches are talking like that. I have a loved one who goes to this very liberal church. So I checked out this website of this congregational church. It says this on the website, Jesus is our path to the divine. Nevertheless, we do not negate other paths that other people have found to God that are just as valid for them. All roads lead to God, and this is a congregational church. Well, one more bedrock belief of the Christian church is there's a heaven and a hell. Jesus said so. Now, for cults, normally, there is no hell. Normally in a cult, everybody ends up in heaven because, you know, we're all basically good and just there's all kinds of paths, so you'll make it. Jesus taught there's a heaven and a hell, and we all deserve hell. Jesus is the only one to get you out of hell. That is the basics of the Christian church. Let me just review them. If you're a Christian, you believe, number one, the Bible is your final authority. God is the creator. He's separate from creation. Mankind is sinful. God is the Trinity. Jesus is the one and only God-man, the incarnation. Salvation is by grace alone. Salvation is through Christ alone. And yes, there is a heaven and a hell. That is what a Christian believes. Now, let's get into the cults. I've grouped the cults that are like-minded together. Today we're going to talk about Christian Science, the Unity Church, the Theosophy Movement, Scientology, and the big one, the New Age Movement. Next week we'll talk about the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the sneakiest cult of all, liberalism, because it's within the Christian Church. That's for next week. But today let's talk about, first, the Christian Science Church. You've probably seen the Christian Science Monitor newspaper, Christian Science reading rooms downtown. What is the Christian Science Church? Here we go. In 1866, a woman by the name of Mary Baker Eddy out east suffered an injury after a fall. During her illness, she discovered what she calls healing principles. In 1875, she wrote these principles in her book, Science and Health with a Key to the Scriptures, and she claims God inspired her to write this book. In 1879, in Massachusetts, the first Church of Christ Scientists was founded. Mary Baker Eddy eventually died in 1910. Today, there are over 3 million Christian scientists on Earth. What do they teach? They teach that Mary Baker Eddy's Science and Health book is new revelation from God. Quote, in the year 1866, I, Mary Baker Eddy, discovered Christ Science. God has been graciously preparing me during many years for the reception of this final revelation. Now, did you catch that? The Bible is not the final revelation. You can add a book to it if you're Mary Baker Eddy. She gets the big one, the final revelation, her book on science and health. See, that's the way you spot a cult. Most cults will use the Bible. We're Christians too, but then they add a book to it, like the Book of Mormon or the Watchtower Magazine or Mary Baker Eddy's Science and Health. Another belief of Christian scientists, and this one is kind of strange, so try to follow this. Material substance does not really exist. Matter does not exist. Your TV set, this pulpit, your hands, your finger, matter doesn't really exist. You only think it does. The only thing that really exists is God. Now that's good pantheism. Pantheism is the belief that everything is God and God is everything. That's kind of Buddhism, Hinduism. It's not Christianity. I heard someone say once, Christian Science is neither Christian nor scientific. The verse that blows away Christian Science is the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is there a material, physical universe? Of course there is. Another belief of Christian Science, sin does not really exist. You just think it does. But because God is everything and everything is God, and because God is good, then everything is good. Sin doesn't really exist. You think it does, but you need to be retrained by Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy said, quote, Christ came to destroy the belief of sin. Christ came to earth to show you that sin doesn't really exist. Wait a minute, Mary Baker Eddy. why did Jesus die on the cross if sin doesn't exist? I mean, here's the verse against Christian Science. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I conclude from that verse, Mary Baker Eddy was deceived. Another verse, 1 John 1:10, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. I conclude Mary Baker Eddy was trying to make God a liar by saying sin doesn't exist. Huh. I mean, just use common sense. Watch the news tonight. Read your newspaper. Have a good, long, hard look in the mirror. What do you mean sin doesn't exist? And that goes along with their next belief. Sickness does not really exist. You know, you might think you're sick. You might think you're in pain. But no, you're not in pain because sickness, sin, they don't exist. You just think they do. You got to be retrained. So when you're lying on a hospital bed and a Christian Science practitioner comes to your room, their basic point is, you know, you're not really sick. In fact, you're not really here. The only thing that really exists, and it's not matter, it's not sin, the only thing that exists is God. And you are God. We are all part of God. So to sum it up, Christian Science, the God of Christian Science is not the personal God of the Bible. The God of Christian Science is this pantheistic blurb that permeates everything, and God is everything. In fact, you're part of that. Now, before we leave Christian Science, though, here's kind of a hard question. How do you explain the spread of Christian Science? Back in the late 1800s, it appears there were some rather miraculous healings done by Mary Baker Eddy's church. Well, what do you do with that? I mean, I talked to a lady, a Christian Scientist. She's convinced it's the true religion because it healed her father. Well, here's my thought. Just because you can do a miracle doesn't mean you're from God. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 24. False Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. In other words, the devil can do miracles. The test of whether a religion is true or not is not can they perform a miracle. The test is, are they in line with Christ and the teachings of Christ and the apostles, the scripture? Mary Baker Eddy isn't. Next cult. The Unity Church. Maybe some of you in your house have this little daily devotional book called The Daily Word. Daily Bread is a great book. Daily Word is a terrible devotional. It's put out by the Unity Church of Missouri, and their basic teaching is you are God. Let's talk about the Unity Church. It's an offshoot of Christian Science, and their teaching is kind of Oprah. We all have an inner Christ. We are Christ. We need to get in touch with our own Christ consciousness. They reduce Jesus to a principle, basically. And they're big believers in reincarnation. You know, that is that you come to earth many times, you die, you come back, you die, you come back sometimes as a person, sometimes as a cow. But when you finally get rid of your negative energy or your past sin or whatever, you get absorbed into nirvana or whatever. And the verse, though, that says no to reincarnation is Hebrews 9:27. Quote, it is appointed unto man to die once. And after that comes judgment. Not come back 15 times. You die once and then it's heaven or hell. That's what the Bible teaches. But the Unity Church says they're a Christian church. Next cult, Theosophy. If you go to Barnes & Noble's bookstore, lots of theosophical books. What do they teach? This is a cult that teaches, again, you are God. And I'm reading from the Theosophical book, At the Feet of the Master. You are God. You must dig deep down into yourself to find the God within you and listen to His voice. And His voice is your voice. Oprah was pushing a few years ago that horrible book by Eckhart Tolle. It's all the, basically, you are God. You just need to get in touch with your inner godness. Theosophy also holds to reincarnation, again, that you come back many times to this planet, and it's a salvation by good works, by getting rid of all your sin, and leads to the next cult, Scientology. John Travolta, Christy Alley, Lisa Marie Presley, Tom Cruise, Hollywood is big into Scientology. What does Scientology teach? Well, it was founded back in, I believe, the 50s, 1950s, by L. Ron Hubbard, who was a science fiction writer. Some of the teachings of Scientology are very strange, that we lived millions of years ago on Mars, and now there's flying saucers, and it's a very different religion. But it's a Christian religion, they'll tell you. Its basic teachings are that man is basically good. In fact, I'm quoting Scientology, I think L. Ron Hubbard here. "It is despicable and utterly beneath contempt to tell a man he must repent, that he is evil. Hell is a total myth. It is a vicious lie." Well, L. Ron Hubbard, Jesus preached on hell. So don't say you're a Christian church. And for instance, somebody says, "Pastor Tom, would you talk to my New Age aunt from Arizona? She's so messed up." So she comes into my office. We had a two-hour talk. I was numb. She used Christian terminology, but she didn't mean by it what I mean by it. I mean, her belief was, "I'm not a sinner. Let's not get negative. That's negative energy. We're all good. We're all God." And finally I said to her, "You know, until you understand that you're a sinner, Jesus will make no sense to you. Because if you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior." The next thing that Scientology teaches, man's problem is that he had bad experiences in a prior life. And so if you can just get over your prior lifetimes, your prior incarnations, you're going to do fine. And how do you get over your prior mess and baggage from earlier lives that you led? Well, they have something called an electropsychometer. It's this lie detector that monitors stress. And with Scientology's help and you giving them a rather large amount of money, they use the electropsychometer to get over your past lives so you can become the Thetan God spirit. Quote, "Personal salvation is freedom from the cycle of birth and death, reincarnation." So the way you get saved is by being freed by them from reincarnation. And then Scientology says, "Religious practice of all faiths is the universal way to wisdom, understanding, and salvation." In other words, all roads lead to God. Jesus is nice, but you don't need him. You need the electropsychometer maybe, but all roads will get you into heaven. Well, one more thing about Scientology. It is the Hollywood wealthy feel-good religion, and Professor Joseph Hopkins says this about Scientology. "A liability of Scientology is its utter lack of social concern. To pose as a church while neglecting the responsibilities of the church in community, nation, and world is reprehensible. Scientology offers society nothing except an expensive and highly dubious method of psychotherapy, the goal of which is self-improvement, self-mastery, self-happiness. The door of salvation is shut to those who cannot afford to pay the price of the processing. Nothing is said about the plight of the poor in Scientology," which is why it's so doggone popular in Hollywood. Last cult for today, and this is the big one, the New Age movement. Again, go to Barnes & Noble's bookstore and just see how huge the New Age section is. Now we've got, in some of our public schools, we've got yoga. In some of our Christian churches, there was an article in the newspaper here a while ago, some of our Lutheran and Presbyterian churches now are doing Christian yoga. No, you don't. I mean, public television here in the Twin Cities, Channel 2, very liberal. I mean, they'll have on Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson. They'll put all these New Age preachers on Channel 2. They won't put somebody like me on Channel 2, but they'll put these New Age preachers on public television. And what are they preaching? What does the New Age faith hold? Pantheism. God is everything, and everything is God. So Shirley MacLaine is on Oprah, and Shirley MacLaine says to Oprah, who was raised Baptist, "Be still and know that you are God." That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." The New Age movement also teaches reincarnation. You come back to life, earth many times, and it's basically the teaching again that we are God. Well, we're getting short on time, but let me just close by this. How do you cult-proof your family so they don't get into this? And I'll just close with this illustration. You really read the Bible yourself. You read it to your children. I mean, I years ago I worked at the racetrack in Omaha, and my job is at I would count money all day long, and you'd count money all day long, and then something felt funny, and you look at it carefully, and it was a counterfeit. You could tell it by the way it felt because you knew what the real item really felt like. Listen, get to know the feel of these pages between your fingers. If you know the real item, if you read your Bible, you study the Bible, that's going to cult-proof you and your family better than anything else. Next week, we'll talk about the other cults.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his insight of Scripture and his knowledge to answer our questions. Pastor Brock, can we just talk for as long as we're so short on time about the cults a little bit more? Mm-hmm. Christian Science, they have the Christian Science reading rooms. Do they worship and have church services?
They do.
They do. There are actual churches?
Oh, there are. Sure. You bet, Jackie. Here in the Twin Cities. I drive by it when I garage sale.
Okay. The same with the Unity Church?
Yes, the big Unity Church, yep.
And Scientology has worship
Scientology,
services?
Scientology, you know, that's a good question. You see them in downtown areas, and whether they have actual worship services where they worship God, I don't know the answer to that.
And Theosophy is more like a
philosophy, but they would have meetings. Again, that's kind of a smaller cult. That's not as big as it used to be.
So, where did they break off? I mean, because aren't we taught that from the Bible, how Christianity started?
Yeah.
So they broke off entirely.
It normally starts with one leader, like Mary Baker Eddy. Or for the Mormons, Joseph Smith in 1820 gets the golden tablets, you know, from heaven, making the new Bible. So it normally starts with a charismatic leader.
So if you've been listening to this program, we're going to be doing two more programs on cults.
Just one more on this.
One more program on cults. Okay. So if you have some questions, at the end of the program, you're going to see our website. Be sure and post those questions so we can talk about them at the end of the programs that are coming up. We want to thank you for being with us. At the end of the program, you're going to see our website, and you can check us out for what we're up to and what we're doing to expand this ministry. We pray that God would be with you this week, granting you his richest blessings until we're together again next time.
Thank you for tuning into the Pastor's Study. We ask, would you pray for our ministry as we seek to spread the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ? And would you pray about supporting this ministry? Our address is The Pastor Study, 5200 Emerson Avenue North, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55430. Our website is pastorstudy.org. And our phone number is 763-260-4484. May God richly bless you, and join us next week at the same time as we study God's Word. Until then, may the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you.